Is there someone in your workplace, someone in your neighborhood, someone in your family that you just can't stand? You know? That you see them coming and you just want to go, no, not today. Not today. Not going to put up with it today. I'm going to walk off. I don't want to deal with it. Is there someone like that in your life, like there is in mine? And in my life, it's in all three places. No. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. We all know those people. Those people that always want to tell us something. Those people that always have something that they've done, that they've just got to share, that is better than anything we've ever done. I remember living in another place and hearing from several people in the congregation we were in, and they one was going to on a trip to Hawaii, one was going to Cancun, another was going to tour the western United States and do the stuff with the Grand Canyon and then all the way up to Mount Rushmore. It was just one of, you know, everybody was going to do something. I was going to Luttrell. You've got those people. And you just can't stand it. You can't stand them. You can't stand it. This is a man born blind. Doing nothing. Not interfering with anybody. Doing nothing. Just being there. And this Jesus comes along and sees him and says, you want to be able to see? Well, here, go wash that off and you'll be able to see. And the world changes for that man. He comes back and he says, hey, I can see now. He's one of those people now. Hey, I can see now. Hey, I can see. Did you know that I can see now? I can see. I don't know who he is. But some prophet put his hands on me, he made a poultice for me, and now I can see. Did you know I can see? Did you know the sky is blue and the grass is green? I can see. Well, everybody's just in turmoil about that, but then the religious leaders say, well, but this is the Sabbath. You can't see on the Sabbath. You were born blind. You can't see being born blind. This is just, nothing was done properly. You or your parents' sin caught up with you and you were born blind. Now, how someone born blind can be blamed for sin that made them blind is a stretch for any religious leader, but they stretched. And they reached that point. Even Jesus' disciples are asking, what did his parents do or what did he do that caused him to be born blind? This is not right. This is not in keeping with the order of the religious understanding of that day, nor is it in keeping with the order of religious understanding in our day. Because we know what's what. We know how things work. We know how things ought to be. We know who's acceptable and who's not acceptable. We just know that. And so these religious leaders, knowing what's acceptable and what's not acceptable, find the man, ask him those questions. He tells them the truth about the incident, and they say, you, a sinner, are trying to tell us? And they drove him out. They were so open-minded that they let a miracle walk away. Jesus comes back on the scene then. He hears that the man's been driven out. He says, gee, sorry, but you can see. And the man says, what so many say in Scripture about Jesus, we know that there is one to come who is the Messiah. And Jesus' response is, and he that is speaking with you now, that's the one. and the man becomes a disciple. And I believe, as Scripture leads us to believe, an apostle as well. He tells his story. For the religious leaders, he's one of those people. For the religious leaders, he's someone that needs to be silenced. God doesn't do good things for people like him. That person in the workplace, person in your family, that person you just can't get along with, how could God do good things for them? I mean, after all, we try to do things right, don't we? We're here. We're in this place. Some of us have put stuff in these plates. For those of you that didn't, we may pass them again. We're here. We're the acceptable people. We've listened to the choir. We've sung along with the hymns. We watched the baptism take place. We applauded. Applause is interesting for me in the church. There was a time when you just didn't think that that was acceptable. I remember my great-grandmother and grandfather, whom I've described to you all before and won't go through all that process again, but they went to a very, very emotionally charged Methodist church. And my great-grandfather would shout, "Amen!" And my great-grandmother would get up and dance in her long skirt and wave her hands. Whatever the choir would do, a special anthem or something special like a baptism would be done. And that was what they did. They would say to us, "You shouldn't applaud that. Well, why should you get up and dance to it either?" There's a response. There's a response to what God does for us. That person that you can't stand is still a child of God, will still be eligible, whether you want that person to be or not, for the gifts of God, for the grace of God, for the love of God that comes to that person. We're still eligible, even though we're here, even though we've applauded and given and sung and prayed. We're not the only ones that God cares about. He cares about those, oftentimes, that we don't care about. Bishop David Graves, formerly from our conference, now at Alabama West Florida, has made the statement several times that his ministry is one in which he prays every day that God would allow him to see the people that no one else in the world sees. The first time he prayed that prayer, he was in Nashville. He was there for a meeting, and he prayed that God would allow him to see people in Nashville that no one else was seeing. He left his hotel, the Embassy Suites there close to Centennial Park, and he left that hotel, and he began to walk down the street, and he ran into every beggar on the street, it seemed to him. They just seemed to flock to him as he walked down there, and he said, "Lord, thank you. No one else is seeing these people, but what am I going to do with them?" And it dawned on him that they needed direction, not handout. He helped what few he could, but he shared with them who he was, what he was about, and how they could know the same thing. They're those people. people that gather under the bridges. The people that come in and we wish we'd locked the doors. They're those people. The blind man who now has his sight and has become that person who can't keep his mouth shut about it. The only thing that bothers me about that story and me is that I once was blind too, but now I see. And somehow I can keep my mouth shut at times. He could not keep silent. Even in the face of people who forgot to be open-minded about their belief in God, he could not. How can we? The United Methodist Church years ago developed a slogan. It's still out there. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. You remember that? I said it doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't think I need to explain that. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. For you. He was made to see. And he had to share that everywhere he went. You've been made to see. We're going to be singing, "Open my eyes and my ears." And that last verse is, "Open my mouth. Let me see. Let me hear and let me speak. And if they're not open-minded, let me do it somewhere else." John Wesley experienced that. John Wesley, with a heartwarming experience on Aldersgate in May, will celebrate that. He finds himself called to preach to places and to people that the church deemed unnecessary for the church. So he preaches on the street. He preaches at the entrances to the mines. He preaches wherever he can preach. And he's told by the church officials, by the religious leaders of his day, "What you are doing is vile. And you will never again preach in an Anglican pulpit." And he was driven out. And he said, "But the world is my parish, so I'll preach where I preach." And Methodist preaching houses sprang up everywhere in England, particularly from Newcastle to Bristol to London and back. And the Methodist movement was born out of one who was cast out by small-minded, close-minded, religious leaders. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Who are you? One born entirely in sin, and you're trying to tell us and they drove him out. Just how open-minded are you to hear the good news from those people? Let's pray. Oh God, as we sing, open my eyes and my ears and my mouth, we pray that you would do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand.